Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Chicago Gamepreneur Show. For our first-time listeners, we're a show all about helping indie games in Chicago, whether it's providing advice for new creators or showcasing the awesome stuff that's going on. We're really about just promoting and helping the indie community. If you want to help us out, please subscribe, rate, and review. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Chicago Gamepreneur. And our Twitter at CGSPod. We'll be posting some great offers from our local sponsors. We have a new sponsorship with Unruled Notebooks and some excellent offers from Basecamp. Hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to episode 27 of the Chicago Gamepreneur Show. Nailed it that time.
Sweet.
No editing required, even this.
I know. One pass only. We're doing the long shot.
Doing it live.
And something I noted on the previous roll that we totally did not do is that we have bonus episodes of the pod that might drop because we have some video only format that we'll convert to audio over the holiday. So, bonus listening.
Excellent.
For your holiday travels.
You can put those MP3s under your trees.
That's how virtual reality works, right? So, as always, we're presenting you with the Untitled Notebook.
Oh.
Unruled.
Unruled Notebook.
Unruled Notebook.
It's also untitled. You can title it yourself.
Whatever you want.
You can also rule it yourself if you think that the possibilities of having blank white pages is too oppressive.
I mean, maybe I'll just do like mix and mash. Like maybe I'll be a ruled day one day. You know, this is really nice. Thank you very much. Yeah, awesome.
So they're designed for visual thinkers. Easy to draw on. Easy to sit flat, rip out. So they're our sponsor, and you can check our Facebook page on details how to get discounts on Unruled products.
Sweet. Awesome.
And this week on the podcast, we have Ian Beckman.
Hi.
And your company is?
Big Sur Games.
And this is funny, this is our second husband-wife duo in as many weeks.
Yes.
Yep. It's me and my wife, Aaron Beckman. And then we have one.
Who is camera shy.
Microphone
shy.
Yeah. She likes to work behind the curtains. And then we have one contractor who's basically, you know, a co-owner or whatever, Brian Kalen, who lives
very
down
cool.
in Cincinnati.
And you are in the midst of a Kickstarter.
Right smack dab middle of it. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah, tell us about it.
We're kickstarting our game Cosmos Quickstop. And for those who don't know, Cosmos Quickstop is like a time management game where you're a janitor running a space gas station. And so we're running the Kickstarter. We have 18 days left, and we're about 18% funded. So we got a long way to go, but you know, you can never give up on these things, and you gotta, you know, keep trying for it.
Absolutely. Hopefully that will give you that Gamepreneur bump.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Everyone sees after this podcast, or maybe not.
I mean, we've had a pretty
really,
good track have, record.
Really?
With our Kickstarter project.
Well, I don't know how much is attributable to us though.
You know, one of those false equivalency metrics that I really like.
It's like how people in schools that you have to test into are always really smart. Like, well, is it the school or
little self-selection?
Yeah.
Well, you never know what's going to help because we've been hitting a lot of different avenues, and like some of the things that we thought would bring in a lot of interest haven't, and some of the smaller things have. So, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that you did a full court press on Twitch.
Yeah. We've had maybe like 10 or 15 streamers stream the game so far, to varying successes. But we actually, one of the streams we did with these guys called Bearded Guy Gaming was awesome. And we ended up like getting, you know, like 20, 25 donations just from
oh, wow.
their stream. And They're interesting because they played the game head-to-head. Even though it's a single-player game, they both just launched at the same time and, like, tried to get higher scores. And, like, yeah, that which was absolutely hilarious.
That's fun,
And we describe the game a little, just because I've seen it on Twitch. I know Rob's seen it on Twitch. But for the listeners.
So it's kind of it's very cartoony, goofy style. Where you play this kind of janitor named Morvin, who's this kind of like weird Muppet-style character. And
three eyes, right?
Yeah, four eyes.
Four eyes.
Basically no body, like basically all mouth and long limbs. But so you're running this space gas station, and what that means is that customers are coming in at different docking stations around the station. And asking for things like they'll want a car wash, or they'll want to go to the Glorp room, or they'll be lost in any directions. And so you'll
it's a popular room, the Glorp
room. Oh my God, yes. So yeah, you have to go to specific spots in the station and kind of do little mini games for them. So like for the if an alien's lost, you have to give them directions. So you run up to this big map and like show them how they have to go. Or if the Glorp room is dirty, you have to like run in and clean it before it can start glorping again. And I'll let you imagine what Glorp is. So yeah,
whatever you want. Do you have to use your plumbus?
basically, yeah. yeah, so it's like very like simple tasks all layered on top of each other until it gets like crazy and frantic and like a lot of fun, but sometimes it's called the anxiety simulator. So.
It's like cooking mama, alien janitor, cleaning mop, cleaning alien mama.
Cleaning alien mama. That's what we should have named it.
some light copyright.
Yeah.
You can keep that.
Thank you. Maybe there'll be a subtext on the sequel or something.
So you said you had a successful streaming. Is there anything about the game that you've designed to appeal to streamers, or does it just happen to be a fun game to stream?
Well, the team of us, or there's only three people, and we're all 3D artists originally.
Okay.
And so we've spent a lot of time on kind of the visual design and the execution of that. And we have a ton of like really unique looking characters and like fully fledged animations. And really bright colors and things like that. So, like, visually, like, even if you don't know what's going on, like, you see it and you're just like, this does not look like a game I've seen before, and you can latch into it from there.
Yeah, it's almost got, like, a Rick and Morty vibe to it, speaking of plumbuses.
But. Yeah. Yeah, like, Rick or Morty, Futurama, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And, like, we do have a lot of plans to, like, further Twitch integration stuff into the game, but we don't have that in right now.
Right. Early stages.
Yeah.
Just playing around with it.
Yeah.
So you arrived at this game after a bunch of prototypes. I played some of those. Do you want to talk about the sort of evolution?
Yeah, sure. So, like, before this even started, like, we were working on a project for about a year and a half that ended up getting canceled. Which was this, like, crazy, like, Mario-style, like, 3D world, like, massive environments. And, like, we worked on this for, like, a year, and we were like, oh, there's no freaking way we can make this game. So, right after that, like, we spent a month just, like, shooting out prototypes. Like, we had, like, made, like, five or six prototypes. Like, one was this thing where you were, like, this fly, and the screen was actually divided up into nine camera sections, and you could see all nine things, and, like, you had to basically, like, trick the human who was trying to kill you into, like, accidentally killing himself, like, by, like hitting the stove and then, like, lighting a match and, like, yeah, this whole thing. So that was kind of crazy. We had this whole thing, like, that was inspired by this play that we went to called Sleep No More, which was this, like, total, like, time travel story thing. But we realized, like, we don't know how to write, like, basically any word ever, so we scrapped that. But this kind of evolved from this game we made, which was like kind of from a game jam a little while ago. And it was, you were basically running the call center in hell. And so, like, people would, like, request, like, oh, we need some fire and brimstone. We need a possessed Ouija board. Like, so you'd run around and do that. And, like, all the whole time, like, your coworkers would be walking by. And anytime you, like, got close enough to one, they would stop you. And they would go, Hail Satan. And then you'd have to type Hail Satan back before they would let you do anything.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and, like, we just had a lot of, like, really fun, like, game jam mechanics in it. And so when we were doing this prototyping stage, like, we kind of realized, like, oh, that game was, like, actually pretty fun and it's, like, well within our scope. So let's do that. But let's, like, you know, take out religious overtones to it and stuff. And so we put it in space because you could do anything in space. And, you know, you can have funny aliens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely evolved from that. Like, the first prototype we made of it was still felt a lot like kind of that game jam. Like, we were doing a lot of stuff that was funny conceptually but not really funny to play in the game. Like, there would be designated nap times where you have to stop playing and, like, run to the rest area and, like, just press Z as fast as you can so you could take a nap, which is, like, really funny when you're thinking about, like, a game jam game in this, like, scenario. But, like, once you start having to do that, it's just like, okay, that's not actually a fun mechanic,
right?
And so it kind of evolved from there, from, like, funny idea to fun game.
So you said you did a number of prototypes. How did you pick this? Was this the most fun one among the team, or did you have the best audience reaction? Or
This one, I think it kind of just hit all of the right buttons for us, where, you know, since we had already done this, like, kind of game jam that was similar to it, you know, we had an idea of what it was. And then it just visually, it hit a lot of our styles. And then a big part of it too is, like, programming. Like, I've only been programming for about a year and a half.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah.
So.
And so, you know, we really, like, you know, we were looking at some of these ideas and stuff, and it's just like, one of the reasons we had to cancel the last project, because it was like, I was just way in over my head. Like, physics is just, I can't even conceptualize it. And so we're like, this is very simple programmatically. And it's doable, and it's very modular, so, like, we can really stick parts together. And so that was, like, one of the really big decisions for us, too.
Very cool. So you were an artist, and you decided to be a programmer.
Mm-hmm.
How is that transition going?
You know, it's actually going awesome. I love programming.
Very cool.
I loved being an artist, too, and I'm really happy, like, I have both sides of it, but I do think, like, programming is, like, where I'm most comfortable. And there's something, like, really nice about having, like, right and wrong answers opposed to art, where it's just, like, you're always working more and more and more.
I don't know. I feel like programming is like that, too, where you can always make it better.
That's true, yeah. There's some room on it. There's actually one of the things that drove me crazy in school is, like, they would give you an open-ended exercise, but they would always assume that you would get to this one solution.
Mm.
And I would like, make another solution that was worse, but I was like, but it's still a relevant solution, right?
Yeah.
Because it still fulfills, so I don't know. I found that frustrating until it got into the open-ended, like, there's no right solution, right? Just write a program that does something.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started enjoying programming more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe the fact that I didn't go to school for programming, like, I don't know a lot about programming outside of what exactly I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I don't know if there's a better way, but if it works, you know, let's go
Why
with
bother?
It.
Why
bother? Yeah. And
I can't imagine that you're having, like, efficiency issues with your game. Is like, yeah, you go up to things and interact with them.
Yeah.
And also, I think a lot of, I'm using the air quotes here, like, more advanced programmers, like, it's analysis by paralysis, right? Or analysis paralysis, where they think too much about, like, how to build perfect system instead of just writing code.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard the best way to refactor is just, like, you just write code until it doesn't do what you need it to do, and then you go back and do your past effort.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very valid approach to writing code, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had to rewrite some key Codemancer systems several times, so a lot of my, like, core classes are called, like, Tablet 3.
Well, and the
I didn't
want
to delete the old one until I'd written a new one.
Well, I do the thing with art where I have, like, 8 versions of like one piece of art because I'm like, what if I don't like the new one? I'm just saying this is a different Photoshop PSD here. So
final O2 for real this time.
But yeah, like games, I feel like games change so much as opposed to like, I don't know, sometimes I think like if you're doing like a spreadsheet program, it's like you just want inputs and outputs. Mm-hmm. But with the game, like so much can change in between. I feel like the code you start with, like sometimes has like no bearing on the code that you end with because you're just trying to do different things.
Yeah. And if you're on a team, forget about it.
Yeah.
Because people have totally different ideas about like where functionality should live.
Mm-hmm.
Any hoozy.
I know, we are really down the brass tacks here.
So this is the Game Entrepreneur Show, which means that it's about sort of having a business that is game related. So we like to ask uncomfortable money questions in our Western
so
society.
Taboo.
Yeah. So how did you fund making the versions of Cosmos Quickstop that you have been showing around?
So there's kind of like two different parts of it where we got like a big loan from my family, which is we're very lucky to be in a position where our family has some money they could give us for that. And then the other side of it is that I have some financial stuff that basically pays me a little bit of money every year, and we're
very cool.
Basically can live right above the poverty line on that.
Nice. With,
and so that's kind of how we're working this.
So basically on investments or on contract work or like
it's a mixture of thing? It's a mixture of like we've done a lot of contract work and we saved up money for it. And also like this is basically it's a trust fund that my grandfather helped start a insurance company.
Oh wow.
And so he gave parts of that to all of his grandchildren. And so we get dividends from that to help like kind of fund that. And like a big part of it too is like he started a company, and so we felt like the best thing we can do with like this gift that he gave us is go down the same road and like try big and you know that he's most probably happy with that.
Yeah, that's great. Like forging your own path. I mean, obviously from a place where you know you have the resources to do that, but also like you know you're going it alone in some sense.
Yeah
I think that passive income is really important. It's one of like, first of all, it's really hard to create passive income, but it is one of those things that allows you to like do what you want to do without being like sucked into something else. Because like a lot of people that
thanks
we have
Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it's like a lot of people we have on here are like, yeah, I do like contract work on the side, but like what I found is like the contract work tends to like pull you out of your core. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the two of us have like the day jobs to pay the bills, and
it makes it hard.
Definitely slows down development on our indie projects.
Yep.
Yeah, the being able to work full time on this project is, you know, you can't beat it, you know. There's nothing like it.
Well, awesome.
So I think you're the first person I wanted like selfishly get into the streamer thing again because I'm thinking about doing a little publicity for my game on that. How did you find your streamers and how did you kind of like get that all set up?
Well, we emailed over 100 streamers.
Nice.
And a lot of it was like, obviously you hit all the big guys like, you know, like Markiplier and stuff like that. But then we tried to get a lot of smaller guys and gals, obviously, through just watching Twitch and watching YouTube things and like finding people who play similar games. So,
okay.
So like we found either people who like cute games, like, you know, like Slime Rancher or Cooking Mama even. Yeah, like, so go down that road of people who like, a big inspiration for the game and for what we're doing is Cook Serve Delicious. And they just released Cook Serve Delicious 2 like a month ago. And so there was like a brand fresh new crop of like videos out and people streaming that. So we basically like found all of those people. And then we also reached out to like Chicago communities, like Twitch Chicago, and they helped us like get a sign out sheet to like all of their, you know, members and people, and so we've had a lot of people stream from that, which was absolutely awesome. You know, and then We also, I watch Twitch a lot, and you know, I have friends who do. So any community that we are very active with, we, you know, press that area as well. So yeah, I mean, it's a mixture of just you know, a shotgun approach with like some more
some
finer,
target on
yeah,
top
yeah,
of that,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's funny that that's, I mean, that's possible only because there are so many streamers now that even a niche is a large group of people.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Sweet.
How about, so you talked about you're doing a bunch of different avenues, like this show, for instance, but anything else that has been working well for you besides the streaming?
We did do some, like, imager posts.
Okay.
And leading up to the campaign,
because you have this very distinct visual style.
Yeah,
it's easy
yeah,
to recognize
yeah.
And
it's very visual. People, even if you don't like, we can just post funny GIFs all day long. Yeah. especially because, you know, we have two animators on the team, so like doing an animation is like the easiest part of the game for us. And so for imagery, like we,
what a strange upside down world.
I know. Yeah, like we, Aaron made this like upvote GIF, and it took like, you know, like 30 minutes or something like that. And it's like,
that would have been like a 3-day project at the end. I'd just be like, this is terrible. I never again.
You guys have a great feel for like slapstick and like amazing. Like, I don't know, it reminds me of Warner Brothers animation, style of like squash and stretch and like exaggerating and like saving motion and to like anticipating. It's you guys are really good at
thank you
funny animations, and it's like seems to be like kind of a backbone of the game
for sure. I mean, we, before working on this project, we were contracted on the We Are Chicago, and that was like very serious humanoid animations in a very serious context. So we were just like, core principle of games moving on for us, for Big Sur, was that it has to be funny, it has to be, you know, we talk about it's much easier to be fast and funny than like complex and perfect. And so we just always try to be fast and funny, and you know, you try to do something funny, like you animate something funny for an hour, and if it's not funny, it's like, oh, whatever, like move on to the next thing. Like, we don't have to spend all this time. If it's making us laugh, it's good enough, you know.
Brevity's the soul of wit.
Yeah.
We Are Chicago is Ashton Sparrow's group. Is that right?
No.
No.
That's Mike and Cindy's game about growing up on the South Side.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different feel for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any thoughts on the Kickstarter campaign in general? Like, do you feel that there's anything you would do differently, or do you kind of feel that it's going about as well as you could hope for right now?
I think one of the big things for us is that we underestimated how hard it was to like grow your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of like successful things happen to us, but it's always been a slow growth. And if we understood that better, I think we basically would have been better off like doing the same amount of marketing we are right now without the Kickstarter.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like send the build out to streamers, like do a bunch of like get really active on Twitter and stuff, because we've been getting a lot of followers and stuff like that, which is great, you know, and then once we've been doing that for, you know, a couple months, 6 months, then launch the Kickstarter then.
Got it.
That is really hard to maintain, though.
It's exhausting.
Well, I can't remember what was the metaphor that our guest used last time of like, oh, it's like a fire. A campfire that you have to like keep feeding logs into.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, you have to start with the small stuff, right? You can't just like throw a log in there right away,
right.
But it is like you have to build it and keep it going, and it dies out.
If it dies out, then you're it's almost not worth like sporadically having a fire. You're better off just like lighting it when you need it. So I don't know, I feel like having a ramp up for a Kickstarter makes a lot of sense.
And we tried to ramp, but we just underestimated it all. Yeah, which happens.
Well, I mean, and I think regardless of the outcome, you're still building a community, right? And lots of people that are invested and interested in it. So that's always like the hidden upside of the Kickstarter. The hidden downside is like just how much work it is and how stressful it is. But the hidden upside is it acts as a marketing campaign for whatever you're doing. So.
And those people become like evangelists too. They join your marketing team almost.
Yeah.
Because if people get on the ground floor... they're super invested in there. They're going to tell their friends whether or not it's because they are in a Kickstarter thing. But they heard it for, they were fans before it was cool.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can we tangent a second? And I just wanted to ask you how the playtest event for your game and a lot of the Friends of the Pods game went on Friday.
I was not there.
Okay.
Ali Cedroni showed the game, and I hear it went well.
Awesome. So just as a PSA for everyone, it was at the Logan Theater.
Yeah.
And Codemaster was there. Sinister Design, we've had Crayon a couple times, was there. And Soma Sim Games were showing the tablet version of their tower game.
Yeah. And we were actually there, too.
Oh, you're there too?
Yeah.
we should go.
Yeah. It went well. It went well. There was a massive turnout.
Sweet.
It's a small space, which is kind of tight and hot back there, but I think everybody had a really good time. Codemaster was actually just like right around the corner from us.
Sweet.
So we were kind of like passing back and forth fans, so it worked out well.
That's fantastic.
It was funny because it's such a cool event, and I heard about like the week of. I was like, man, why weren't we telling everyone about this? Because
you should have been watching Chicago Makes Games.
I know. That's my bad. But don't make my mistake.
You can sign up for the RSS feed, and it'll
man,
notify
I am
you.
All about the RSS feed this day. So
I don't actually have an RSS reader, so I have like an IFTTT script that sends me an email when things trigger off, off the RSS feed.
It's like taking something high. Here, like, what I'm doing is I'm actually taking Twitter feeds and making them into RSS feeds because I have an RSS feeder page. But you're taking it one step further down.
If we're going to turn that into an IRC chat.
This is like taking electricity to power, like a water faucet to power, like, a wheel to, like, grind corn or something.
That's what I was, you know, if most apartments, you get water free. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you should also, like, that's also electricity. If you have,
water
flowing, you just hook up a generator to your water, now you have free electricity. And then, you have free electricity, now you have free heat. Guess what? You can heat an heating element with your electricity. So I don't understand why you pay for anything, but...
It's true.
Except
just,
that your
just
landlord
your
will
landlord
kick you out.
Yeah.
They will kick you out so fast. Like, why are they using so many millions of gallons of water? That was indeed quite a tangent. This has been a Gametrepreneur tangent.
Seriously.
Thank you for joining us.
We are deep in the weeds here. So details on the Kickstarter before we go on to our next segments, just so people know about it. You
what
got
are some,
18
like,
days left.
Cool rewards.
Yeah, talk about the rewards. We love to hear about that.
So we do a lot of like cool like kind of world building rewards. Like one of the really cheap ones is the tax returns for the gas station, and it's like a story element of like why like your uncle is like giving control over to you and like why he's on the run from like the space IRS and like this whole thing.
It's the Gravity Falls thing, right?
I haven't actually seen Gravity Falls. So.
Oh, the uncle in that is a pulling all the same tricks.
Yeah,
so.
most probably, yeah. That's really fun. We're doing like a training manual for like one of our physical courses, like a training manual of like all the different modules and like there'll be coffee stains and like notes from Morven like on little things going like that. Obviously like t-shirts, stuff like that. One of my favorite parts of the Kickstarter is our last stretch goal is that if we make $100 billion, we'll actually make a space gas station. So,
I mean, that. How much money do I have?
That seems within reach.
Yeah. Well, you never
know.
Seems
very reasonable.
Yeah, old Muskie's gonna hop on board with Kickstarter.
He's into space.
He's got to get back to Mars somehow. So, yeah. Those Mars cars aren't going to fly all the way back. They'll need to fuel up at some
exactly,
point.
Exactly. Exactly. Why not, you know, have Big Sur games for that?
That reminds me. So, Big Sur is named after the mountain?
The area in California.
Oh, California, yeah.
The coast of it. That's where we were when we came up with the, like, kind of Big Sur as a concept. Mm. But it's spelled differently, which I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but we didn't want to be too samey. We were kind of like, you know, it's a little confusing, but either you're big enough where it doesn't matter, or you're small enough where it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, yeah, nobody cares that they misspelled Beatles in the Beatles.
I mean, it's like making the amalgam of two really hard to pronounce words together as the name of your podcast. Either you're small and it doesn't matter, or you're big and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, all right, so you're like Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Awesome.
speed round?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay.
So,
do you remember the questions?
Yes, I've got the questions. So rules are pretty simple. Answer, I don't know, we let guests go with it. You can answer quickly, you can answer slowly, whatever. If you don't have an answer, you can flip it back to us, and then we have to answer instead.
Okay.
So how many cups of coffee do you consume per day?
2 to 3.
Same for all your team? Do you have any non-coffee people?
No, it's pretty similar. We drink more Red Bulls than coffee.
Oh, interesting.
And more vodka Red Bulls than just Red Bulls.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking now because that means that it's got to be like at least 3 Red Bulls. It's at least 4 vodka Red Bulls per day.
Sometimes it's one or the other normally. It's okay. Coffee or Red Bulls. You know?
Gotcha.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think that's the first time we got vodka Red Bulls.
This is a good word problem, though. If Ian drinks... next question.
Next question. What is the music you prefer to listen to while you're developing?
Retro wave.
Okay.
Very, like, kind of just, like, bass line. Words are fine, but, like, something like... kind of driving, but not too exciting.
Yeah, Benedict Fritz was saying he likes to keep it simple because he gets distracted otherwise. We got disco last time. That was interesting. what was your... What was the game that you're most ashamed of not playing? So your game deck game that's just sitting there, it's collecting dust, and you're like, I should play that, but I just...
It doesn't have to be something you own, just something that you're ashamed to have not played.
That's a tough one.
Expose your shame.
I have to go with Chrono Cross.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chrono Cross, the intro, like...
Should I be ashamed for not having...
No, it's... The opening cinematic for it is, like, one of the reasons, like, I got into animation, but I never actually, like, played the game.
Gotcha.
So you tell this story, but you never admit that you've never actually played the game.
I mean, I played it, like, half an hour of it, but, like, I didn't give it what it needed, you know.
What was the first game that you played that really, really hooked you in? The game that you, like, remember as a kid?
Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
I think we've gotten a Link game before. I mean, obviously, but, yeah.
That was, like, the first one where, like, I was just, like, I remember, like, my brother got it for Christmas, and he, like, finally let me play it, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is so cool, and I think, like, games were in me for the rest of my life, you know?
And Desert Island game, and the qualifier we always give on this is that, for some reason, this island has amazing internet connection, so...
Okay.
So it can be multiplayer.
Yeah.
Can it be, like, can I say a specific, like, time period? Because, like, the... one of my favorite games of all time is Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But
yeah, the island has a time machine, too.
Okay. I'll say either Dark Age of Camelot or Warhammer Online, made by the same company, so, you know, you can take them wherever you want.
Nice. Well, it's a good thing the island has a time machine and the internet connection, so.
Yeah. And yet you can't get off it somehow.
It's a J.J. Abrams island. It's Who knows why? Who knows why?
That's a question that... goodness. Well, this is another tangent.
Yes.
But if you have a
tangent
time machine,
show.
there's like a question about like what does stationary mean anything? Does the word stationary? Because, like, if you travel back in time, are you, like, following plate tectonics?
Oh, like, right. So, where we go with the curve of the Earth?
Or are you just, like, locked to the surface of the Earth or to the solar system? Like, if you go, like, 6 months into the future, is the Earth on the other side of the sun and now you're in just going to die? Anyway. I was just thinking, you have to be careful with a time machine on a desert island, because you could try and use it, like, if it was plate tectonic or volcanic related or whatever, then could time it so that you could just walk back to the mainland and then go back forward in time again, and now you're where you want. You could be in, like, New York or whatever.
This sounds like a great puzzle game. Like, get off the desert island with a time machine.
Yeah, I think we have a new Game Jam game to work with here.
Sweet. And that has been another entrepreneur tangent.
And so to our last repeating segment, the what weird. So we talked about it earlier, but it's just the things that we're consuming that inspire us, that fuel our creativity. I've been watching a lot of Punisher this weekend because it just dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting show. I think it might be one of the first, like, reaction to the 2016 election shows, maybe.
Mm.
But, I mean...
Other than, like, House of Cards kind of...
Yeah, right. Things. Predicting it, but... it's interesting because it's also very grounded. Like, I feel that the Netflix Marvel stuff has gotten more into the realm of the mystic with the last couple
of
offerings.
Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But you'd be happy to know...
That was a pregnant sigh.
Well, you'd be happy to know that Punisher brings it crashing back down to Earth.
That's
so
great. Yeah, I prefer stories where you just, like, are just trying to save one person, or maybe, like, one block at most.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes have gotten, like, stakes inflation has gotten out of control. It's like the currency of Zimbabwe now, where, like, every movie...
4 wheelbarrows for bread!
Yeah, exactly. should I go next, or do you want to...
Oh, I want to throw in, I watched Justice League, and it was bad.
We'll just
leave it at that.
That's so funny. I've been hearing mixed things. I think just because this bar has been set so low.
Also, I mean, they brought Josh Whedon in to finish it,
yeah.
And there's definitely a point where the movie gets lighter and funnier, and you're like, oh, that's what happened there.
That's when Josh Whedon, like, parachuted in.
With a bucket full of funny and just kind of tried to wash the Snyder off of it.
I heard that also they did that with the color grading. That, like, there's
the movie
a point
just
where
lighter.
It gets brighter. And then that also makes the costumes look sillier because they were all designed with, like, a dark, moody color grading in mind. And now suddenly they're bright and you can see all the little, like, stitches or whatever. So I just, right before I came here, rewatched season one of One Punch Man.
Ooh, nice.
Amazing.
It's just makes me so happy. Because, and I was thinking today, a new angle on it, that most sort of hero's journey stories, it's sort of implicit in the story that your hero is invincible. Like, they're gonna win, they're gonna save the day, whatever. But they try and, like, fake you out all the time. They're like, oh, he's really taking a beating now. Or, oh, he's dead. And, no, he came back to life. Or whatever. All the, like, you know, nonsense of trying to get you to feel like the good guy might lose.
Mm-hmm.
And One Punch Man just does away with all that. It's like, the very first episode is like, our hero's invincible. He's always going to win. Now what? If you can take that for granted, I feel like you can go beyond where normal stories go.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Plus, it just makes fun of all the anime tropes.
Yeah. Also, amazing animation in it.
For sure. Although, they always... I don't know. Maybe this is just another part of making fun of anime tropes, is that... whenever things get intense, it just looks like crayon scribbles.
Yeah, like charcoal, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Trying to refresh the buffer too fast.
Let's see. Aaron and I just finished playing Doki Doki Literature Club. Have you guys heard about this? Have you heard about it?
No.
Oh, so it's a dating sim visual novel that Frog Fractions real quick, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
And it just it turns into this, like, I don't know how spoiler we want to get with it. I don't know. But it's like on Steam, there's tags.
I mean, even just invoking Frog Fractions is almost a spoiler.
But you don't know, like, what's going to happen. You just know something's going to happen.
Yeah. But now you know it's going to get weird.
Yeah. I mean, on Steam, like, it's tagged with, like, psychological horror. And,
oh,
like,
I see.
There's a lot of warnings on it because they really don't want, like, children to play it.
Mm.
But that game definitely threw me for a loop.
Interesting. That's a different direction
than
I was thinking.
I mean, I always liked finding games that are, like, different than what you think they are.
Have you played the Paperclip game?
Yes. Universal Paperclips.
No, I haven't.
It's when you have time to lose about 8 hours of your life, play the Universal Paperclips game.
I want to disagree with your earlier assessment.
Yeah.
Say that I think it is kind of an idle clicker because it does mostly happen in the background. Like, you can not pay attention to it for a while, and it's
fine. You can, but you do better if you don't.
For sure. It's like fishing. If you're actually, like, paying attention to your lore, it's better. But you can also just drink beer and talk.
Sure. You have a lot of agency in how you play the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll definitely check it out.
There are now Universal Paperclip speedruns on YouTube.
Wow. I saw that there's merch, too.
Yep.
Like, you can get a t-shirt that says "Release the Hypnodrones."
Do it.
Hypnodrones?
I mean, no, it's just, we're just talking about.
You gotta play the game, yeah. Maybe that's a different game, actually.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Doki Doki.
Who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, Doki Doki Literature Club.
Cool.
Really cool. Free to play.
Mm.
So good that, like, they have, like, a soundtrack thing you can buy. Basically, it's like, if you like the game, you can buy it here, kind of thing. And I did, because it was really good. It
was worth the money, so.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. All right, so let's make sure we get all the info on the Kickstarter again so our listeners can find it.
Mm.
Where can they follow you and your partners on Twitter?
For sure. Twitter, Big Sur Games, at Big Sur Games.
Mm-hmm.
Our website is cosmosquickstop.com. The Kickstarter, I have no idea what the link is.
You can search Cosmos Quick Stop.
We have a really awesome video that we did custom animation for, so you can check that out.
Yeah,
we'll pull you on the page and everything.
Awesome.
And you have another 18 days.
18 days,
which will probably be out 16 by the time this comes out. So.
Yeah, 16 days, and you know we have a lot of cool stuff. Still planned for, like, updates and stuff like that. So check it out.
Let's make a real base, guys. Like, let's get this $100 billion together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And make it real.
Get those tax records.
Yeah. Yeah. The tax records are amazing. Also, like, the International Space Station cost $500 billion. So we think, like, we would have to be a little smaller than that. But if we're doing it all at once, I feel like, and we don't have to do, like, any research stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's true.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
if you're using, like, gasoline, you don't need all those solar panels.
Yeah.
You just use fossil fuel.
Yeah. Coal. Let's use coal.
Yes.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. As always, I am Keelan Hong at Keelan Hong. My game is Contract Work on Facebook, Contract Work Game.
And I'm Bobby Lockhart at Bobby Locks, BobbyLox on Twitter. And my game is Codemancer, codemancergame.com.
Thank you so much for listening.
Have a game-trepreneur-y day.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Tangent.
To our U.S. listeners. And to our Canadian listeners, you already had Thanksgiving?
They did.
Probably. Yeah, they did, yeah.
Happy Boxing Day?
No, Boxing Day is like Christmas.
Oh.
Enjoy your day, whatever day it is.
Tangent.
Bye.